Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Well, real quick, number one on what's trending, just the injury news from training camp today. Kelvin Joseph did not practice. Still no Nick Bolton, no Kadarius Toney, as they're dealing with those injuries from earlier in the week. It's that ankle for Toney and the elbow for Nick Bolton. And then you heard us talking about Wanya Morris in the last segment. He left towards the end of practice in the cart. Front of the cart, right? We always talk about that distinction, dealing with a shoulder injury at this point in time. So that's where things stand on the injury front. But next on What's Trending, Q, we can just pot it down. It's that our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor, is hanging out with us. Another week of practice, Nate. Let's just start right there with the injury stuff. Any sense yet from you? We were talking about the battle for left tackle. You were nodding your head, so I think you kind of agree. But do we think this is a serious injury for Wanya?
I hope not. It didn't look that painful, but I do get the sense that they're probably going to do some MRIs, some x-rays, just to see if there's anything structurally wrong. But from what I could tell today, it wasn't anything noticeable, right? So, for instance, when we saw Justin Watson have his foot injury, you could tell immediately, oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
Like, his foot...
He was down.
His foot stuck
same with Toney, really.
In an odd position, and ooh, that doesn't feel well. Yeah, same with Toney. He fell to the turf in an awkward manner, and you could tell, ooh, that's going to hurt. So, okay, understandable. He did some one-on-ones today. He was obviously, as you guys said earlier, at left guard. You know, it's more trench work. It's hard to really tell. But look, I guess it's a positive sign that he was in the front of the cart. He didn't really look to be in a ton of pain. But I'm imagining, and again, I'm not sure of this quite yet, but as we're talking right now, they're probably evaluating him up in the indoor training facility here at Missouri Western. So I don't anticipate it necessarily being like devastating. But it could be understandable that he might be out for, you know, a short amount of time.
How much longer on Bolton?
Because
initially I heard not too serious, but then I'm not.
This thing gonna drag on. It's gonna.
It's too hot. I'm gonna be injured a few more days. Kind of can't. What's going on?
I love that coach was like he tweaked his elbow, and I'm like,
that could be what?
What the hell does that mean,
elbow,
coach?
Yeah.
You know, Nick's a full-blown starter. He's your green dot. He's your third-year veteran going into the last year.
Lost one of your starting linebackers last year.
Rookie contract. Yeah, Willie Gay's not here. I want to remind people, too, for all the injury concerns, LeJarius Sneed took how many reps in training camp?
I know it.
It was zero,
yep.
Kids.
Yeah.
It is not
serious. He's already taken camp off in Tennessee.
I love
the knee injuries.
I love
LeJarius.
It was news in Tennessee, fellas, that LeJarius Sneed practiced on the opening day of training camp to therefore say, I got the playbook down. I don't need to do this anymore.
We're good.
I'm good.
You want me to shove that guy down? Okay.
Yeah. I got my technique down. I said, hello, wave to the new fans, and you'll see me in September. So I think Nick Bolton will probably come back sometime next week. I don't get the sense that like he's going to miss the preseason game if he is available.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a reason Chris Jones was like, I got a little groin injury. And then I get the next day off, and then I get the next day off, and oh, look at that. I'm great.
It always comes on 99-degree days. Nobody got hurt today.
Who's showing up on Monday? That's why when it's 100 degrees out here. That's why Chris Jones or somebody on Monday. We'll see.
Hey, Coach, you know, I think I need one more day.
For
this tweaked elbow, you know?
This doesn't have to do with Nick Bolton, who's a very important player to their defense. But I said I'm not worried about Willie Gay being gone at all because I'm convinced Chanel's the breakout player.
Ooh.
He's the guy we haven't spent enough time talking about. I think he is and this is crazy to say about Willie Gay, I think he's more athletic and more skilled than Willie Gay.
I don't know if he's more athletic. Based on this scheme, he might be a better fit, though.
Yeah, the blitzing stuff for sure.
Yeah, with Leo and obviously crashing down on the end, giving you some bare front flexibility. That's obviously what they showed in the postseason. And look, he's gotten really good at tackling and at least being in the right space in coverage. Now, they're not going to ask him to do that a ton.
But they didn't ask Willie to do that a ton.
Right. And I understand Chiefs fans' frustration where they were like, wow, every time the ball's near Willie Gay, he just flashes, right? Even if he missed an occasional tackle, it's like,
he's there.
You can't use that guy more. But I do think with Drew Tranquil in year two, giving him a little bit of coverage on the back end, I can see why Leo Chanel could be a breakout potential player. Even Mike Dana a few days ago was like, no. Like, he's telling us Leo Chanel's, like, coming, and he might really be someone that you want to keep your eye on. And then when you watch the one-on-ones, he's smushing people,
yeah,
trying to protect the quarterback.
He's like the bulldoggy type linebacker. Like, we're just like,
yeah,
no, just bumper, all head going downhill, 1,000 miles
yes,
an hour.
Yeah, like,
I just think about him like climbing that. I always think about him climbing that double-decker bus at the parade. That's the same energy.
Yeah.
I can't get up here. Well, I'm not going to go around.
Right.
I'll just go up.
There's different levels of freak athleticism where you see Willie on a practice field and you're like, he could do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Where like, I'll never forget the play in Denver where he blitzes, you know, Russell Wilson, bats the ball, catches it, and just immediately puts this man in the dirt.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, also freak athlete, just says, get out of my way, scoring a touchdown. You look at Leo and you're like, he made Christian McCaffrey look normal at times in the Super Bowl. That was
really hard to
catch here. What is this? You know, and he talked to us about it a couple days ago about having the 2 weeks to prepare and really getting to know the opponent. So as a run defender with, you know, Chris Jones, obviously having Nick Bolton alongside you, there's a reason that he could have a pretty interesting year where it's like a couple of forced fumbles, obviously a handful of sacks, couple tackles for losses here and there, and obviously, you know, gives the defense a different look than what, you know, Willie Gay did, but at the same time being perhaps even just as effective.
We have Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, joining us inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. We were talking off air about this, watching some of the wide receivers so far here at camp, and Hollywood Brown is just not bad at camp or anything. It's just kind of doing his thing, right?
I mean, guys, just, I wrote this in The Athletic. It was a while ago, but this is a public service announcement. Just take him in your fantasy draft, okay? It's a sure thing at this point, obviously barring injury. But, yeah, we were talking about it off air, Alex, and I think you have a great comp. Like, he's not the same receiver, but, like, I think Juju Smith-Schuster came to the team in 2022 and was like, oh, Lord, we really working out here. We're really running routes. He wants me to go more downfield. Well, about at this point, it was very clear. They're like, oh, that's the next best receiver next to Travis Kelce. And we're getting a similar feel now where it's like, well, he's good. He catches. He can track the ball. He can run a variety of routes. He's obviously fast. He's not the fastest guy, but he's still really fast. And he's built a similar connection with Mahomes to where you say, oh, I see that working on opening night against the Baltimore Ravens, whatever they ask him to do. And he'll even be more juiced up, of course, because that is the team that drafted him. So there's nothing to report other than
it just seems sleepy. Does that make
there's nothing sleep to report other than take him in your fantasy
draft.
Because he'll be a solid contributor for the offense. I'm not saying he's gonna have like 1,200 yards, but at the same time, I know that he's probably going to be one of the more reliable skill position players alongside, you know, Travis Kelce and Isaiah Pacheco.
How many plays a game will Xavier Worthy run directly down the field? And in it, like, how many snaps is he going to get? Because that's part of it.
Right.
That's been obviously the biggest thing that everyone's noticed at camp. There are two plays, three plays a game, or a practice, that Xavier Worthy runs really fast down the field, and Patrick Mahomes throws it to him.
Yep.
Whether it's supposed to go to him, or he's just decided to throw it to him, two or three times. Trent McDuffie was on our show, and we said, that's something we get asked a lot. How fast is he? He's like, if you don't get a hand on him, you're not catching back up.
Ooh.
Like, you know, you're not.
Tyreek, he's in that conversation speed-wise.
He's like, if he gets past you, that's kind of all she wrote.
You're right. I don't know if he's in prime Tyreek Hill mode.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's great to know that Trent acknowledged that he's in the neighborhood, which is amazing. He should run 12-9 routes against the Baltimore Ravens. I just want to see it, right? I just want to see
think
it.
You open everything up. This should make
exactly.
Travis Gold made a point that we hadn't even thought about. How much easier with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy is Travis Kelce's job again?
Yes.
Man had to work too hard last year.
Well, and again, battling through injuries as well. But I get the sense, too, like, just, hey, go in motion, run a clear out route. Run in motion, deep post. Run, like, another motion, another 9 route. So that at some point, it sets up what? It sets up the quick screen game. And you're starting to see that now a little bit in training camp where it's like, hey, some people have concerns, and I get it. Can he get mushed at the line of scrimmage by a veteran,
wide receiver,
tall, you know, tall cornerback, more physical if they want to play, you know, some man coverage, or if they just want to be in, like, you know, push cover 3? Well, you put him in motion, you get him behind Travis Kelce and perhaps another receiver, and then you quickly get the ball in his hands and see if he can make one guy miss on the perimeter of the field and get upfield. So I get the sense, at least early in September, it's going to be a lot of 9, a lot of post, and how much can we get you a quick screen, maybe 2 times a game, and see if one of them pops for, you know, a chunk game. And if you break a tackle, who knows? Maybe he's still running towards the end zone. But I would just love to see it because I know Hollywood Brown knows how to get open in zone coverage. I know Travis Kelce knows how to operate in one-on-ones, or at least with a lot more space in the middle of the field. If that safety has to tell himself, much like what Trent McDuffie's saying, I don't want to lose a step. I don't want to be even with him, because if I'm even and the ball's in the air, I've already lost, and they might as well just put 6 points on the board. So if that's going to be the case, Justin Watson knows how to run routes underneath well. So does Travis Kelce. So does Marquise Brown. So his stat line might not look great in September, but if the offense is scoring 30 points, his speed legitimizes everybody else's, you know, skill set, and it gives Patrick easier reads because the defense has to respect that level of speed. And then when you get to October, guess what, kids? Double moves, outs and ups, you know, corner routes that are a little more hard to tell, because what you've seen on tape in September is not what he's doing now, because he's growing in the offense as the season moves along.
So I don't respect like 80% of Twitter analysis.
What?
It's breaking down play by play. Like, look where his hands are. One person who I do respect is Benjamin Solak, who just recently got a job over at ESPN.
Him.
And I think he knows football incredibly well, and it's extremely bright. And the point he made the other day on Worthy is why you shouldn't be worried about GM coverage. He's like, do you realize how little wide receivers actually face press coverage at the line? It is so uncommon.
Yeah.
For you to be worried about one time he got jammed at the line is inconsequential. That is not something that is going to happen to Xavier Worthy very often.
Right.
More often or not, he'll have a free release.
Yeah. Or he'll be coming into motion to give him even more.
They do that with Tyreek all the time.
Yes, of course. And you're even seeing it with Tyreek with the Miami Dolphins, right? The way to get him free is to motion him across the formation and be right behind Jaylen Waddle, who, guess what, is also really, really fast. So that's why L'Jarius Sneed mattered so much, is because he was one of the rare cornerbacks who was comfortable not only pressing you, but telling the referee, I'm going to mug him. I'm going to physically assault him on the line of scrimmage, and I'm daring you to call a penalty. So if you're not playing the Tennessee Titans, which I don't believe they're on the Chiefs' schedule this year, you're not going to see a ton of press coverage. It's just, it'll be occasional It might be in short yardage situations, red zone.
Third down.
The occasional third down when you're trying to disrupt timing with a blitz maybe coming behind it. But, yes, I tend to agree with Ben Solak, and I tend to understand, too, that, like, even if he does get smushed, ladies and gentlemen, Travis Kelce is still probably somewhere open.
Yeah.
So, cool. Like,
Rashee's probably there somewhere.
Yeah, if you want to smush him, then, yo, guess who's running crossers and who's going to cross you to death? It's Rashee Rice. And even then, you still have the occasional screen game to open up that as well. So, there's obviously games within the games. There's obviously adjustments to the adjustments. But just because he got pushed in one training camp practice, I think is good because it tells him the level of physicality that's coming.
Sure.
But it also is remindful that not every team is going to be asked to do that because the Chiefs have more options at their disposal than they had at any point last season.
We have Nate Taylor from The Athletic hanging out with us post-training camp practice today. Now, I apologize for asking this on air because we had an off-air conversation, but and maybe there's been an update. I don't know. Maybe you haven't got there yet. Thinking of Rashee Rice, any new information perhaps? I know you were working
on
something.
Yes, this is a great discussion. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have made calls. I have done my job.
You're in the same boat.
They telling me anything.
Nobody's talking, huh?
Come on!
Nobody's talking.
Roger! Get on it! If you're going to do something, you kind of got to do it now. Now, the league will say, look, we're still
investigating.
Yes, we are still looking into the matter. They have not been, like, clear-cut about, like, the legal process, which, again, as I've told you all,
Last week
is not really relevant to this. Mm-hmm. Like they can obviously suspend him whenever the hell they want, which really does come down to Roger Goodell. But the league has said, from an actual official standpoint, like, hey, we are still going through it, and they referred me to what Roger Goodell said on draft week, fellas.
That was in April.
Draft week. That was in April. Sorry, I just stepped on your foot. That was in April. So, I mean, did I scream at the league? Of course I did not. I'm a respectable journalist, and I said, duly noted. But one of my follow-ups was that was a draft, right? Yeah.
You know what month where it's August?
August, my guy. Like, so I don't know.
The Royals were 2-1 when this happened. Played 110 games since then.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, I mean, I love the question. My editor believes that it will be a Friday's news dump, so I'm not saying it's going to happen this Friday.
Today, yeah.
But, as things may move along, that might happen. I think that's a fair theory, a fair thought.
Perfect solution. Every time we've gotten Friday news dumped at the worst possible time, we've played poker at my house.
Uh-oh.
So, that happened on the Kareem Hunt day.
Uh-oh.
So we might as well just schedule a game, Nate. You guys can we can have the whole Chiefs beat over, and then we will walk ourselves directly into that decision. That's how this works.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can go through precedent, we can go through context, but honestly, fellas, I don't know. And that'll be even more intriguing. Now, I don't believe the Chiefs when they say, well, we haven't heard anything from the league.
They've had a call, right? They want to know, too. They want the answer, too.
Stop it. But
they have to have an idea.
But again, it comes down to the league, and ultimately Roger Goodell has the final say on it.
Yeah.
And I was told that the update is, let me refer you back to the NFL draft in late April.
Okay.
So, great.
I mean, if that's truly where they're at in terms of their process, then he isn't getting suspended this year.
There was so much, I guess I'll say, chatter in the league that, like, no, he's getting suspended. Like, it's a wrap.
I think he's getting suspended. I'm just not so sure it's this year anymore.
And maybe that's where we are. Maybe that's what has slightly changed. But there were so many people in the league, who were suggesting, intimating, inferring you that, like,
it was going to happen.
This is standard operation procedure, which is,
But the season's basically here, man. We had preseason football last night. Did you watch an ounce of that game? I wanted to just watch for kickoffs, and I know it's a very small sample size. I told Cody this earlier.
He was bored.
It's a waste of time. The same thing. The kickoffs, there was a penalty because someone left a little too early.
You knew it was going to happen.
The kickoff returns were going to the 26-yard line. Waste of time. Small sample size, but just get rid of it. If we're not going back to 2012 kickoffs because of safety, which is fine, then let's not waste anybody's time and let's just start at the 25 or 30 and let Mahomes work.
It's just one preseason game,
okay,
Mr. Gold.
All right.
I said no one even showed anything unique yet, you know?
Well, I don't think they're going to until week one.
And at least they're tackling each other. That's better than starting at the 25 and not doing anything.
Right. And
great. So a play that goes to the same spot but also has
injuries.
But now
injuries. A fumble
awesome.
Could even better. But great. But now
but
a fumble could
happen.
This is
the football we all grew up with.
Well, then
this
let it be normal returns. Just go back to 2012.
Can we, like, I want to call Dante Hall. I know he's talked about it a little bit. But, like, I obviously I love Dante. Talked to him before.
Yeah.
But, like, do you realize that when Dante Hall was doing, again, mind-blowing things, there were offensive linemen blocking for him?
Yeah.
There were, like, gigantic linebackers.
Evan Hester last night was in the Hall, you know, yes, getting inducted in the Hall of Fame.
It was a different game.
It's a different game. So, like, I still want the kickoff to matter. I still want it to be relevant just as a fan of the sport and how, you know, we grew up with it. But one thing that I found very interesting about the NFL's presentation about the new rule that all the coaches, all the owners, all the special team coaches went through is there was no kickoff return in the Super Bowl. Not a single one.
True.
And you think about a couple of famous plays, including Devin Hester. Yeah.
And so, like, on the sport's most grandest stage, a play that can be exciting, can kind of change momentum, was just not involved in the deciding game of the championship. So they're going to try to push it. They're going to try to encourage it. But, guys, I mean, it's going to be rough in the preseason because so many guys are fighting for roster spots. You are going to leave early. You are going to leave late. You're going to be holding people. Like, you're going to try to understand the rule as it comes. But hopefully one of these kickoffs pop off and you can see, oh, that's what the rule kind of intends for. Or if you don't have good returners, it will put your team at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you'll be hurt
when you have the ball. So I know it's one game. I wasn't thrilled. I also love that every year there's something wrong with the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Well, the field's not right.
It.
The stadium lights aren't on. Oh, we got this thing called weather. You know what? Call it. And it's just like
I'm glad
every
they,
year.
I'm glad they called it. There was no reason.
No, there's no reason. But I'm just like every year.
Over still hate you.
Every year I get so hot. Get so pumped for football.
And they give you like 2.5 quarters.
And the field's not right? Like, what are we doing? Like, the lights, like a couple years ago, the lights weren't working, you know, for an NFL preseason game. So
maybe by the time we're there for Andy Reid's induction or Chris Jones or Kelsey's induction, you know.
Right. It's just, I just love that we all get hyped and like 5 minutes later we're
this
like,
is gone.
Oh yeah, that's right. This is awful.
Before we wrap it, United, I did want to ask about your most recent piece up at The Athletic. You heard about Clyde yesterday.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, Mecole Hardman went through something like really serious, and then we found out the next year, and I'm like, why wouldn't you tell us that?
Right.
Because
the
sympathy you feel towards a player. Clyde has been dealing with stuff for years. It puts in perspective what he's been battling while actively with the Chiefs, well, just fighting for, like, football reasons, right?
Yes.
Trying to stay on the field and get your reps and get enough snaps to, like, prove teams you're worth it. What did you make of what Clyde said yesterday?
It's truly noteworthy and very commendable that he was given the opportunity to expand on his tweet from last Sunday, right?
Yeah.
He missed Sunday and Monday's practice as what the Chiefs described and what they've been doing for the past couple years, to your point, as an illness, right? And so that could honestly mean anything. I think most people hear illness and they're like, well, he's sick again? And that's understandable from a fan's perspective. It's like, why are you missing training camp practices? But he goes on Twitter and he shares that, hey, I've been dealing with PTSD. And so that, of course, makes things more interesting because you want to know what has he been going through. But you also don't want to have any triggering, you know,
he mentioned
related
that. He said
symptoms.
Having those conversations, bring it back up.
So it's I would encourage everyone to, if you have time on the, I think it's on the Chiefs YouTube page, you can watch the entire press conferences. That was a longer press conference than usual. He answered every question in great detail. And then obviously I did a lot of work yesterday, talking with more people in the organization about just some other details as to what's going on. I mean, after every practice, he talks to Dr. T, you know, because of just the protocol, the procedures that they're going through with him to understand how he's feeling. I thought it was fascinating that from a human element, the guys that know him the best are his teammates, right?
Yeah.
So Travis Kelce can kind of see when the symptoms are starting to pop up, or, you know, if a certain thought or a certain memory comes, that you can sort of see that, okay, Clyde needs help, you know, and we want to be more, you know, proactive than reactionary. He did such an amazing thing, and obviously, you know, we were all going through it at the parade, but it's nice to remind yourself that, man, he did something legitimately heroic.
Yeah.
During the parade, when the parade ends with the shooting, trying to save, you know, trying to protect, I should say, not necessarily save, but trying to protect, ensure that a teenager is not in harm's way as much as you can, but also realizing the next day he's going to have anxiety attacks, he's going to have nightmares, he's going to have flashbacks to something that happened to him in 2018, where he had, out of self-defense, he had to, you know, make a life-changing decision for three people. And you can read it in the story. I mean, I don't know how much time we have left, but while he was at LSU, he was trying to sell, and you know, he explains this in the press conference, he was trying to sell an electronic item to an 18-year-old who had ulterior intentions of robbing them, and he's the one who, out of self-defense, kills that man, you know, with a legally registered handgun. So him sharing that publicly for the first time since it's happened is a massive milestone in his own mental health, his growth as a human being. And it makes sense now, to some degree, why he's had such a up and down last couple of years. You know, statistically, you look at the box scores, you look at his, you know, overall statistics, and you said, well, his production has gone down every year. But he's also a human being. He's also dealing with stuff. Yeah. And even during Super Bowl week, when we were all in Las Vegas, my understanding is he had a flare-up during that week. So, again, the biggest game of the season, as you're trying to prepare, you know, you can have flare-ups that can come, you know, when you least expect it, or when there's just, you know, when you just feel anxiety. And obviously he talked about the idea of, you know, the syndrome that he has that forces him to throw up, which means you lose weight, which means it's just hard to be
your body's not right,
a consistent performer as a professional athlete. But he's a jovial man. He's been willing to share. And I know he's got a lot of respect in that locker room, because he lost his job very quickly, but his professionalism has not changed. Yeah. Even with what he's struggling with, even what the team is asking for him, even as he enters, you know, pretty much the Jerick McKinnon role now. Mm-hmm. You know, McKinnon is not here. So he's the old guy in the room. He's the veteran. He's the one that's got to get Denarik Prince to be an actual contributor this season. He's got to help him just as much as get Isaiah Pacheco ready. And also, when his number's called, you know, be a plus player with limited opportunities, limited snaps. But what an amazing opportunity for him to really share within detail what he's going through, so that we all have a better understanding of who he is as a person, not as a football player.
I mean, I thought the whole Super Bowl parade 2 years ago, I guess it would have been, and the whole fashion show, that time I thought that was stupid. You can find the audio. We talked about
it
plenty.
I
thought it was stupid then, and now it puts things even more in perspective. Like, that, people were actually attacking somebody because of that decision, and now, fast forward to now, don't you feel it? Not you, Cody. I'm saying in general. Don't you feel
relax, it? Man. I didn't say anything bad about Clyde.
Don't you feel silly?
And I remember Clyde telling me at some point later in that offseason, like, no, I you never know how the season's gonna end. Yeah. I agreed. That was my obligation. I'm gonna do it, you know?
Being a man of your word. And that's a problem.
Right. And then he said, if we win, I'll be at the next one. And guess what, kids? Yeah. He was at the next one.
And he was, absolutely. Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, guys, coming up next, we'll get to the random question of the day, and we'll talk a little Royals baseball. Their series against the Tigers continues tonight. It's actually over on Apple TV Plus as well, so we'll have the man on the broadcast for that game. Join us next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you, continuing to broadcast live from Chiefs training camp. We're inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. If you missed our conversation a little bit earlier with Trip McDuffie, Chiefs starting corner, be sure to check that in the 1 o'clock hour on 1:30 today. We'll have that for you again. We talked to him about expectations and really the start to his career. Two rings, an all-pro, considered one of the best corners in football already. So we'll get to know Trent a little bit more if you missed that conversation. But it's nice to, as we always say, be talking Royals baseball while we're at Chiefs training camp. That means things are going pretty well, and it's been a while since we've been able to do that as the calendar has turned to the month of August, and the Royals got things going last night against the Tigers and started this four-game series with a win. Tonight, Friday night in Detroit, Cole Reagan's on the bump against Skubal, so a great pitching matchup, and the game also is going to be on Apple TV Plus tonight, and so we go out to the 610 hotline and welcome in a man that's going to be calling the game for Apple TV, and I guess we do not have Wayne Randazzo quite yet, but well, I'm looking forward to having Wayne on the show at some point here very, very soon.
Ducking us?
No, I'm sure there's just, busy schedule, man. Busy schedule.
Do we get time zones right? That's always a...
Yep.
That's always the... That's the one that gets us sometimes. Not us, just anybody in general.
Here's how I know the time.
It turns out
people
are on different time zones.
Here's how I know the time zone was right, because he would have tried calling at 11:30 then.
Oh, depending on.
Because Detroit's, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So unless he called at 11:30 and we didn't know about it, but otherwise, yes, I'm sure we'll connect with Wayne Randazzo, who does broadcasting for Apple TV Plus, is going to be on the call of the game tonight as well. And in tonight's game, it is a great pitching match. I wanted to get his perspective, and hopefully we'll get him on where Bobby Wood Jr. is. We can talk
here.
He just
got named Player of the Month. I'm a little surprised. I thought it was going to be a closer race, you know?
Yeah.
Bobby Wood Jr. was Player of the Month for the Royals? What do you mean? When he hit .489 with like a dozen home runs?
And Brady Singer, Pitcher of the Month.
He was great this month. That goes back to our conversation yesterday about if you had to choose one of the three starters, Reagan's, Lugo, or Brady Singer.
But that's the Royals. That's the Royals Player of the Month. I want the Major League Baseball Player of the Month when that Bobby Wood.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's going to win that one.
When does that one get announced?
I don't know, but he's going to win it.
Well, of course.
Like, I mean, it's a slam dunk. So it doesn't really matter. That is the Royals Player of the Month. I apologize.
You're good.
I guess I could have specified. Wood Jr. hit in 22 of his 23 games in July, in which he led the major leagues in F-WAR, 2.7, 44 hits, 75 total bases, a .489 batting average, and an OPS of 1.353. last night after his two hits, he became one of only three players in Major League Baseball right now with an over 1,000 OPS. And he's doing it at shortstop, which is always worth mentioning when we're talking about the position that he's doing. So, yeah, very impressive. But the game tonight is fascinating because last night's game was just a walk in the park win. Lugo was great. Vinny hits two bombs. Bobby hits a home run. No sweat, no pressure, easy win. They played really good defense, really good pitching, and an offense that slugged the ball over the fence. So it felt like an easy one. Tonight, you're asking Cole Reagans to out-duel Lugo, or to out-duel Skubal once again. If you remember, maybe like 6 weeks into the season, these two teams faced, and you and I talked about it, because at that time, Skubal was the odds-on Cy Young favorite, and probably should have been at that time and still is. And Reagans, they got four runs off Skubal, and Reagans out-dueled him. Reagans was great. He went seven, and I let one run, I believe. So can he do it again tonight? Then they've already tied the series, and we all feel good, Gold.
Oh, I told you 3 of 4, I think, is what you need when you consider the stretch ahead, and you consider you got the Red Sox around the corner and the Astros and the Guardians at the end of the month with 6-7 games between end of August, early September.
Technically, you need to talk about the Twins before the Red Sox now because they're a half game up.
They are. The Royals are a half game up on the Twins for the second wild card spot. That means, of course, the Royals are in second place in the AL Central now as well. But that's why I think, you know, we talk about getting greedy. Like, that's to me what you need to do. You know, there's certainly no White Sox left on the schedule. The Tigers aren't anywhere near that level, but they're a below 500 team, and so the Detroit Tigers to me are
they're not a laughing stock.
No,
you know?
So at minimum, you're right. At minimum, split, but I think 3 of 4. And if you win tonight, you're setting yourself up, of course, where 3 of 4 would not getting 3 of 4 would be a disappointment. If you win the first two,
yes. Oh yeah. Well, I mean that's honestly what's plagued them a good chunk of this season, where they won the first game of a series and then still lost the series.
From the Cubs series.
The Diamondbacks series. It's happened a couple of times, but that's the same thing, in my opinion. Is if you win the first two, well, then time to take the series. Splits aren't okay anymore. We're looking for bigger and badder things all of a sudden. We're having a very different conversation because no one's out of their reach still. Yeah, maybe 6 games is a lot to catch the Guardians, but they're only 4 back now of the third wild card spot, and the Yankees have not been playing as good a baseball as they were earlier in the year, and teams go through ebbs and flows. The Royals had a rough end of June, had a rough beginning of July, and then got back together and have now won, 13 of their last 19 games or something like that? So teams will go through that. What the key is when everybody's ebbing and flowing, how often are the Royals in a playoff spot? And this year, if you would have taken it from game one, when they lost, I guess, to game 111, which it is tonight, they've probably been in a playoff spot like 75% of the year. Because they got hot kind of early, won quite a bit early, and were at least in a playoff spot had it started game 13. They've been in a playoff spot probably 75% of the year, 80% of the year. Just that little bit of time when the Red Sox surpassed them for what? A couple of days? And then they immediately took them back over and have held on to that playoff spot since. I'm excited. We are past the final third of the season. You know that, right? There are only 52 games left in the year. 54 is the two-thirds or the one-third remaining mark. There aren't that many baseball games left to play, and the Royals are still doing what they need to do to win. They're winning the way we talk about. The middle of the order hit well, and Lugo was great.
Has to be that way. I mean, that's the perfect scenario last night is how it laid out, with Lugo's outing, and then you get Bobby and Vinny hitting the way they did. The power in the lineup, and then you really didn't need to rely on your bullpen. And that's, look, I know you might feel better because of some trades, but still, ultimately, if you can always avoid having to get 3-plus innings out of your bullpen, you'll take just needing the eighth and the ninth any
time. It makes it way easier for somebody not to have a bad day.
If I would have told you on August 2nd that you'd be looking at some of the betting markets, Cody, and to win 90 or more games, the Royals are plus 270 right now, okay, to win 90 or more. To win 80 or more at this point, based off where, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. You can't even bet on them right now. Like, that's how that just tells you where you cannot even bet on the Royals to win 80 or more. That's how confident everybody is at that, of course.
God, could you imagine if at one time we talked about that really early on in the season when you and I both decided they were going to win at least 80.
And then, you know, just to make the playoffs right now, the Royals are minus 160,
you say,
to make the playoffs
minus
at FanDuel.
160.
Plus 120 to not make the playoffs, but minus 160. I mean, that $100 bet wins you $62. That is where they're at now. You can't. There's no plus money on that anymore.
I like that. Look at those odds, though. I love to hear that. I don't have to bet it.
If you were
like
wondering the other teams that they're competing with, you know, so like Minnesota is minus 530 to make the playoffs. The Boston Red Sox right now to make the playoffs are actually plus money, plus 175 as they've fallen off a little bit. And they're also in a very, very, very difficult division.
Well, they're not getting ahead of two teams.
Yeah.
They're not getting ahead of the Yankees.
Their path is wild card. That's it. Whereas the Royals' path is technically division still is open and the wild card. They have two paths to get there. The Twins have two paths to get there. And you're right. The Yankees have one, and it's a wild card.
I can't believe that we're here. But, I mean, now, and we talked about this maybe at the 50-game mark, I can't ever call it a bad season or a disappointing season. It's hard for it to that, but I will be disappointed if they don't make the postseason. You know? Like, if they miss the postseason by two games, can we really come on these airwaves and be like, how dare you betray me like this? They would have won 56 games the year before, and they're already at 61. It's August 2nd. I don't think I could, in good conscience, be like, they blew it. Now, their expectation should be now that they make the postseason,
absolutely.
And I will be disappointed. I wouldn't call it a failed season or a lost season.
This has already been a successful season.
It doesn't even matter what happens here right now. This season was a success.
But that's not – I get, you know, it's successful season, sure, but absolutely now that you're in the spot that you're in, of course, like, this team should make the playoffs. That's fine to say that. But if they were to come up a game short, you can't say, oh, my goodness, what a failure. How, you know, that would be silly.
No, it would be, because it would be disingenuous.
But, yeah, I mean, I think everybody's going to be devastated if, in fact, after all this, they don't get in. Because they're positioned to get in. They are currently occupying the number two wild card. And
not even the number three. It feels good to say the number two spot.
And I know, and as you and I said, this is more of a September conversation. Yes, there are potential pros and cons to being the two wild card versus
the three
versus the one and all
based
that.
Based on matchups, you'd rather be the seventh team than the fifth.
The third wild card.
You just would.
The third wild card would play the worst division winner, which this year would be
Astros or Mariners.
The AL West. So Astros or Mariners on the road. If you're the one or two wild card, then you potentially be playing in Cleveland for a while. You know what I mean? Like, you could be playing in Cleveland for the wild card round.
Yeah, it's just a little bit different, and you certainly don't want it, at least on that end. But that's we'll cross that bridge, Gold, when we get to September. Q, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Q, over in the text line, 913-586-7610. And, of course, you can hit us up on the video stream, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, 610 Sports KC. Question I have for you today comes via the Olympics again, because, of course, did you look up that stuff on that guy from Turkey?
I'm starting to think
the man's a Turkish assassin.
A sharpshooter or whatever.
Yeah, like, he's an assassin, and they just hired an assassin to come win silver medal for them. Maybe not, but that's probably the case. The question I have for you today is, what everyday item would you like to endorse after I saw, and I assume you did, there's an Italian gymnast. She has a sponsorship with Parmesan cheese.
I did not see this.
You didn't see this?
No.
Oh, my God. I got to show you.
I didn't watch any Olympics last night.
No. It was I think I saw it more on social maybe than that. But you know how this works. Like, part of the Olympics is you can endorse something, but you can't talk publicly about the things you endorse. But you can take photos. You can do photo shoots. This woman has an endorsement with Parmesan cheese. I'm not kidding. Look at the photos. Here she is next to a wheel. Here she is doing the splits on three wheels of cheese. Here she is doing a back handspring near a chunk of cheese. Gold, here she is holding a giant wheel of cheese. So which everyday item do you wish you could get an endorsement for? I use quite a bit. Cheese is a really good answer. I don't usually buy pre-shredded cheese. I shred my own. So, like, if I could get, like, a Tillamook cheddar sponsorship, I'm on it. I use it for 1,000 dishes a year. I buy block cheese almost every time I go to the grocery store. It would have to be pretty high on my list. Other than that, I'd be praying for the things my kids eat. Mini muffins or yogurt or the 1,000 other foods they eat 19,000 pieces of. I think this person's got it right. I think cheese is the answer. I would do Tillamook cheddar. That's who I'd like an endorsement with.
Yeah, I mean,
Tillamook cheese? Sharp cheddar.
Yeah,
hey, it could be whatever everyday item you want, man.
Particular food item, I don't know. Problem is, this already exists. It'd be like Gatorade. It'd be Propel or something.
That's fine. Propel's a good answer.
Propel's a very common thing.
Someone said Milo's or Red Diamond iced tea. I drink a lot of unsweet tea. And Milo's is the one I got in the fridge right now, so maybe that's not out of the question. That was over on Twitch from Why Not. Yours would be Propel. If you could just choose you'd be a good spokesperson for it.
I drink it every day, Propel.
You wouldn't be lying when you said it.
No. Propel's definitely the answer. That's what I think.
What about, like, a personal care item? Are you loyal to a toothpaste or a shampoo or a shaving cream. I get the same.
I get the same stuff, but it's, you know, so I guess, sure. I mean, it, overall, the other items, like toothpaste-wise, that's varied. It's usually 90% of my life, I would say I'm a Crest guy.
And oh, then, you're a Crest guy.
And then the other 10% is Colgate, but it's probably 90% Crest.
I'm not against, so I was buying the Crest mouthwash for a while, but the name brand, the off brand, the Target brand, just as good. Walmart brand. So I
don't know what it is. I won't use, there's certain items that are, I think, are totally fine off brand. Like, no big deal.
But toothpaste, you're not doing it, huh?
Toothpaste, not something that
this is mouthwash. Yeah. I do get name brand toothpaste.
I've
changed over the years. Now, it's moved a little.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about mouthwash, I'll get the off brand.
Okay, yeah. Mouthwash is what I'm
toothpaste? No.
Someone says beef. I eat 1 to 2 pounds of beef every day. Every day? Sir, that can't be right.
Two pounds
of beef every day?
What is the meal, please?
What does your heart look like? Yeah, what meal are you eating 2 pounds of beef a day? Maybe just eat steak every day?
Yeah, but that's the pounds.
You would need a pound.
Pounds. Okay, Cody, you're getting an 8-ounce steak. You're not going to... 8 ounces is not 12 to 2 pounds.
Someone says toilet paper. I have stuck with the same toilet paper since COVID. We started ordering gigantic box of toilet paper.
I'm happy. As long as it's two... As long...
I want a quad ply.
What's
I want
going
as
on?
Many plies as possible.
Two ply is fine.
But it... Well, not single ply. We're not a monster.
I get the Charmin two-ply. I don't know. There's all these different types now. Like, it has, like, certain, like, designs inside of it. And, like, okay, no. just give me two-ply toilet paper.
I ordered from an online company. I'm not kidding, Alex. For the people watching this, box about this tall. It's about this wide. I order, like, twice a year. It happened during COVID when there was, like, the weirdos who were buying all the toilet paper up and we couldn't get it. And I started ordering it online, and I just never switched back. So that might work. Someone says booze has got to be a top five answer. I was thinking, like, more of a household item.
Yeah, someone says Cottonelle toilet paper. Yeah, I mean, I'm not partial on the toilet paper brand as long as it's, you know, thicker and it's not that thin crap that we have in a lot of buildings around town, you know?
Sorry, we're not in studio. Someone says, how many cheeses can you name? I can't play that drop for you.
Yeah, we don't.
At this moment,
we're on remote. We are on remote.
You're not going to fool me. Someone said sparkling ice. That's the, like, flavored water, right?
I never liked those.
Didn't like them, huh?
I never liked the flavor.
But you're a Propel guy. What's the flavor problem?
It's different. It's a different taste.
Someone says, Lego. Only answer here is grass-fed beef or Tyson chicken. My kids do. I mean, we eat quite a bit of chicken in the house. I'll give credit to Nick. He edited that perfectly. Uh-huh. Because that wasn't exact. Like, I said it that way, but, like, there was
you
some
said gaps, just like that.
It was just a perfectly.
Someone said the guy that's eating 1 to 2 pounds of beef every day is probably on, like, a carnivore diet. Wife, they said their wife is on it, lost 50 pounds.
Someone says, how's Golden endorsing Chipotle? He's not a Chipotle guy anymore.
You guys not heard?
His taste changed.
Yeah, we've talked about this now. This is, like, the fourth time it's
been
brought up.
Gold got COVID.
I cannot smell anything since December. Most food I can taste and still enjoy. For whatever reason, I don't really have an appetite for that anymore. And when I had it the last time, it just was too textured and mushy. And it just wasn't. Yeah. So I'm out on it for now. Maybe one day I'll go back. I don't know. Get the smell back and maybe I'm back in. Saving me some money, I'll tell you that.
Where are you going instead, though? You're still spending the money.
Yeah, but it's not as I'm not spending there. I would go and I'm spending $16 or $17 because by the time you get the bowl and the chips and salsa,
double meat or
I never did the double meat. I didn't need the double meat there, but
okay. Yeah. But maybe a drink occasionally if you didn't get the water. All right.
Someone says beef is healthy. Look, I'm a red meat guy, and there's pros and cons to all of it. Trust me, I told you my favorite. I mean, if I could just eat one meal, I'd just have steak and potato the rest of my life. I'd be happy.
You could do that. What's stopping you? You could just go to the store. You say you don't like to buy groceries because of the – just go buy a big bag of potatoes and, you know, a big chunk of steak, a bunch of steaks, put them in your freezer, and you can cook that meal for a whole week like this guy.
Yeah.
Eating 2 pounds of beef every day.
I tell you, man.
I can't. That's a lot of beef.
That's a whole lot of beef. I feel like that's what you're about to do.
Where's the beef? No, I'm just making an observation. I know, I get it. Like, people are like, well, gasoline. I'm like, that's not really like an everyday item. Sure, yeah. I've mentioned multiple times on the show. Quick Trip should sponsor this show. They should sponsor Club 610, and I'll just get a big queue, and I'll put alcohol in it. Look, we all love Quick Trip, and I'd love
thinking
some free gasoline. Gas on them, but,
thinking of gasoline, I'm glad you mentioned that. So I think I'm good because I'm not a car guy, but I think this mistake is okay.
Whoa,
it's not the reverse. So I think we're, so.
Did you leave the handle in?
Oh no! I'm not. Okay. I told you about that. I saw somebody do that a couple weeks ago. No, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't paying attention. I was filling up gas today, and you know, you click the button, unleaded, whatever, premium.
Oh, you
know.
No, did you do the low octane?
No, so my car takes regular low, you know, regular unleaded. I accidentally did the middle one. Literally, there's regular, there's mid plus, and there was super. And I never have done this before. I accidentally hit the mid, which is like two octane higher, filled up the car. I think I'm good, right? It's way worse if I had a car that took premium and I put in the regular,
and
right?
And you don't want to do the lower octane. So if your car, like my car only takes 80, I know this, I don't know why, but my car only
takes 80. You just bought 80, the car, that's why you know. It's
maybe, but I knew it in the old car too. Yeah. My car only takes 87 or 89 octane.
Yeah.
So if you put in one of those two, you're fine. Now you put in 85, could cause some misfire.
I think,
you know?
the opposite would have been way worse, right? I think I would have had a premium car putting
So you put in nicer gas.
I put in the middle level accidentally today.
And you'll be fine.
For the first time. A full tank of it before we went up to St. John.
Textline could probably answer that question better for you, but you'll be fine.
That's what I thought.
Usually
it drove fine coming up
here.
You
didn't put diesel in it, right?
No, that obviously would ruin your car.
Yes, that would ruin your car. That's a different
thing. Someone said you can always use higher octane. It's no different than putting a little octane booster in it. It just clean it out with better gas.
Yeah, higher octane's usually fine. I thought maybe you said you put in the lower octane gas.
No, car takes low. I put in mid accidentally. Oh. First time ever. I just wasn't paying attention.
Right in her old age.
I guess
you know?
So. I guess so.
Filet mignon for that Mazda.
Uh-huh.
It might not be able to handle it because it's 12 years old.
Yeah. Hey, man, that car from the outside, it doesn't look 13 or 12 years old from
the
outside.
Oh, you've kept it in good shape.
I've tried
you had to fix the bumper once when you hit reversing out of your apartment.
Yeah, that was
good. The only time I remember.
That wasn't good.
It was worse than I thought when you eventually showed it to me.
That was St. Joe 2 years ago. That was St. Joe 2 years ago where I'm pulling out of the garage and cut the wheel. It barely tapped the side, and the whole bumper basically almost fell off, and I had to get it replaced.
Someone says, where did you find 85, or did you mean E85?
No, not E85.
E85, I think, was, I don't know, in Colorado. Here's,
okay,
85.
Maybe
they
I got
lower
the,
octane in.
Here, the number. Colorado. Did you say 85 or did I say 85?
I said 85 because I was just in Colorado and they have 85 everywhere.
I think the gas station I was at was 87, 89, and 91. I actually put 89, not 87.
You're fine. Your car's fine. You did not break your car. Everything is okay.
Someone says their wife was putting the mid-level gas in her car for about a year. Noticed better performance when she switched back to regular.
Hmm.
Oh, I mean, I'm not planning on putting in mid from now on. Plus, it was more money. So trust me, I'm going back to the. It was an
You're
extra,
like, what is
it was
this?
An extra 20 cents. I didn't mean to do it. It was an extra 20 cents a gallon, man.
Oh, 20 cents a gallon?
Yeah, not 20 cents.
And how low were you?
Empty. I put in 12 gallons.
Dang.
Anyway, it's not
Dang.
One time, but yeah.
Cost yourself like $3.
Uh-huh.
Can't get that drink now when you go back to Chipotle.
That's exactly right. Oh, man. There you go. That's. I guess we'll have to reschedule our guest for another time. Must have been some miscommunication. I looked up an email. It was 12:30 Central Time. But well, in fairness to him, it wasn't booked directly with him. It was booked through a PR agency. So, anyway, the roles are
okay,
on
Apple. He's banned from the show. Wayne is banned
from
the show.
Oh, it's not his fault?
No, he didn't show.
It's not his fault.
He's banned from the show, just like the other people who bail on the show.
It's not his fault,
Text
I guess.
What do you think? 913-586-7610. Should we ban Wayne from the show?
I'll blame the PR member more than I'll blame the broadcaster on that one, huh? How about that?
Yeah, that seems fair.
Coming up next, though, you asked Nate Taylor about the linebacker position, and it sounds like he partially agreed with you. I want to revisit that, and the biggest thing to watch for the rest of this series, I should say, with the Royals and Tigers. That's coming up next, 1 o'clock hour, as we broadcast live from Chiefs Camp.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.